Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Well, talking about summer, you can't come up here the following week and not just make some reference to the life change that happened last weekend. How incredible it was. So many God words, so many God moments. But I think the thing that the way I would sum it up was Holy Ghost family time. You guys were talking about that too, that sense of unity, that sense of love that was like, I think on the whole, my personal opinion and my personal experience is that we are a very loving church. But I got to say, I reckon it went up a whole nother level last weekend. What God did in and through us and that sense of unity, and even people walking in who'd never been here before came in and went, we cannot get over that sense of love and true family in this place. And I think it's just incredible. You know what? What does it say in Psalm 133? It's a short psalm, but it just talks about the blessing that comes when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, when they dwell together in harmony, that God commands a blessing. Anyone want to be in the space where God commands a blessing over you? He just says it has to be. This life, this family, this person, this individual, this business has to be blessed. It comes as we dwell together in unity. It comes as we take a hold of everything that God's got for us and we love one another with a whole heart. But now as we prepare for post-summit life, it's so important that we don't just take that summit experience and moment and put it in a box and label it Summit 2024. It's so important that we don't do that and then go back to normal life in the valley. Normal life, oh, that was conference, but this is normal life in the valley. We want to make sure that we take everything that God has given to us, that everything that he brought to us across that weekend of wisdom and words and joy and strength and revelation and perspective, and apply it to our path moving forward. Apply it. Let it be a light that shines upon your path, because God has a path for you to move forward as he does for us as a whole. One for us to travel. I loved what Pastor Paul Chase dropped on us on opening night. And if you weren't there, then you get this one. Well, I encourage you to watch the whole thing. But he dropped on opening night these words. What if the most important thing was not what you do, but who you become? What if it was simply to be like Jesus? What if it was simply to be like Jesus? I have felt all year that this has been the emphasis that God is wanting to take us down, take us to this year, that he's wanting us to, as we step into this new chapter, this chapter two, that he wants to give us a new perspective, a new focus, a new spotlight, a new emphasis. I think I've already said it to you in previous times. You know, the purpose of a chapter in any book, the reason there are chapters in a book, although I hear people reading Shane's book have read it in an entire sitting, so they have paid no attention to the chapters. But the reason a chapter is there is to set a new perspective or a new location, to put you in a new location. And I think about this and I'm like, what is God wanting to do as we are taking chapter two? What if the new direction, the new perspective was instead of, anyone old enough to know WWJD? Yeah, those little bracelets. So if our youth, I don't know if they still have them these days, probably don't. Although the friendship bracelets, Taylor Swift's bring them back. So maybe it could be like a friendship bracelet and it was WWJD and it was what would Jesus do? And the idea was that you would wear these bracelets that they would remind you in the moments when you don't know, when you're in a compromise or you're in a position of a decision. The idea was that you would look down and you would see that and it would remind you to think about what would Jesus do? But maybe what if God was wanting to shift that a little bit? And not telling us not to think about what Jesus would do, but what about if it was also HWJB? Anyone got any ideas of what that would be? How would Jesus be? How would Jesus be? Gold stamp, gold star, elephant stamp for that one. Very well done. That, and then from there, from that place, that we would let our actions and our words flow from that place. Instead of just starting at the doing, what about if we started with the being? That way, instead of just focusing on the gifts and the talents that God has given to us and what we do, we could set as a goal building maturity, building the nature and the character of Christ into our lives and focusing on developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because you know what? I'm grateful for the gifts of the Spirit. Every aspect of this church, like, screams the gifts of the Spirit that those who are here have chosen to use in the house of God, chosen to use to bless you and to bless me in their service to God. I'm so grateful for the gifts of the Spirit. But what if the focus started with the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. Actually, before I do that, how are you feeling, Jess? A bit better. Oh, she had fruit. She had fruit. She had fruit. She didn't have fruit. She had food poisoning. But I'm glad. Well done for being here. Yeah, I hope you're feeling better. Okay, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there is no law against these things. There is no law against these things. You know, some of these things may sound soft. They have that soft sound to them. Joy, oh, peace, gentleness, kindness. It sounds so wonderful and so soft, but the reality is, and that final line makes it very clear, that these are powerful attributes to have. These are not little soft, fluffy things. If we have them actually in our lives, established in our lives, the way God wants to establish them in our lives, they are powerful things to have. Because as I said, the closing line makes that so clear. It says, there is no law against these things. So as we submit our lives to the guidance and the direction and the correction of the Holy Spirit, who knows, every parent understands that love can't just be sweet things and direction. It has to sometimes be correction, and God is the ultimate Father. But the guidance, the direction, and the correction of the Holy Spirit, we are reminded of the real worth and strength of the fruit it produces within us. Now, this doesn't mean you won't have opposition. If you've lived more than 2 seconds, you know that. If you've tried to do any of these things at some point or another, you'll know that. It doesn't mean you won't have opposition as you seek to live according to the Spirit of God, because it's countercultural, especially in this day and age, especially even more than, say, 10 years ago. It is so countercultural. We will get opposition, but it does mean that the enemy has no legal foothold before God. No legal foothold to take you down. So what does that mean? That means no weapon formed against you will prosper. And it does mean that when we live this way, God himself will defend us. God himself will stand with us. He will stand with us in the midst of trial, of the midst of the trial. He will stand with us when even our own feelings rage and when others try and convince us that that's not the way to go. That you shouldn't forgive that person, you shouldn't be kind to that person, they don't deserve it, and it sounds so justified. When those things happen, it says that God himself will stand with us if we will allow ourselves to submit to the Holy Spirit and the ways that he does life. But I also notice that this passage starts with these words, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Which means that it's not a fully comprehensive list. Anyone thought about that? I'd never thought about it. I'm like, oh, they're the fruit of the Spirit. That's that. Put them all in the fruit bowl. I know exactly what they are. But in actual fact, it says, in my translation, the New Living Translation, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, which means it's not the fully comprehensive list. It's the starter pack. Anyone remember when Foxtel was the big deal? So it wasn't that long ago, but it actually is so long ago now with all the other things and the streaming services. But, you know, remember when it was a big deal, what they do is they would tell you how wonderful it was and how incredible it was and how it would just meet all your needs. Well, we thought it was pretty cool because Australia went from 4 TV stations to like 100 TV stations. And we thought it was incredible. And then, but what we find out is once we've signed up, we realize that's actually only the starter pack. What you really want, if you'll pay a little more, you can get the latest movies. You can get all the sports from around the world. You can get all these things. There's all these other things. That what they gave us was actually just the starter pack. And what God is saying with that list is that that is just the starter pack. For instance, if you're at Summit, you know how we talked a bit about the importance of forgiveness. We touched on that and began to stir ourselves and remember. And yet it's not part of that list. But that doesn't mean it's not part of it. It just means it's not part of the starter pack list that God's written down. We went through the scriptures at Summit talking about it, and we realized how important, how vital it is to our walk. It's still part of the character and the nature of God, that the Spirit of God is at work to form within us, the character and the nature of Christ. For it may have been the gifts of the Spirit that put Jesus on the map, you know, when he healed and when he turned the water into wine and all these things. But it was actually the fruit of the Spirit that kept him. It's actually the fruit of the Spirit that kept him where he needed to be. For the strength of Jesus was not in his miracles, it was in his character. I'll let you think about that for a moment. Because sometimes, and I have no problem with us petitioning God, saying, God, we want to see your miracles. We want to see people heal. We want to see these things. We want people to know who you are and to receive your goodness in that very physical way. We want them to understand that. We do want them to receive that. But I've got to tell you that the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit are not greater than the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is really the foundation upon which everything else should happen. Because in truth, Jesus could still have become our Savior had he never done a single miracle in his entire life. But he could not have become our Savior had he not had lived a life that was upright and in line with the Holy Spirit. He'd never have done it. Before he ever turned water into wine, before he ever healed a single blind man or paralytic or bleeding woman, before he ever raised Lazarus from the dead, he spent his time allowing the Spirit of God to lead and disciple and discipline him and guide him. That's what put him where he needed to be. And out of that, everything else flowed. For 30 years, whilst he was waiting for his time, because he knew that that was coming. For 30 years, while he waited for that, he submitted his life, he submitted his heart, he submitted his attitudes and his words to the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit was his tutor, his teacher, and the instruction also of the written word of God, the Bible, which enabled the character, that character of God to be formed in him. Think about these words. I only do what I see the Father doing and I only say what I hear the Father speaking. Now that, I actually looked for that. So many times we quote like that. It's not all in one space, but that is effectively the essence of John 5:19 and John 12:49 and 50, where Jesus makes it clear that he's not just walking around doing what he wants to do. He's not just walking around doing his own thing, but he is a soldier under the command of his Father, under the command of him, because he understands who God is and he understands who he is. Think about the discipline, the self-discipline, the patience, the humility that was involved with him doing that. Only doing what he saw the Father doing and only saying, now for some of us this would be hard, the harder one, only saying what he heard the Father saying. Because anyone here got an opinion? Yes, we've all got opinions. And I think about Jesus. He was a young man. He was our under 30, he was our era, you know, the beginning of our era age bracket. He was a young man, I'm sure. He was up and about. And he was God. I don't think he was short of an opinion. And yet, he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only said what he heard the Father saying. That's why he could say to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can we say that? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you can see Jesus. Can we say that ourselves? Because when I took character, it took love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things, and so much more. Jesus was the light of the world. We're told this in John 8, verse 12. And now here we are in 2024. We're here in March. Can you believe it's March already? March 2024. And the one who is the light of the world is passing to us the same mission that he's passed to every other follower since he walked the earth. He's saying, will you shine your light? Will you glorify God? Will you do what I'm asking you to do? Will you say what I'm asking you to say? And will you be who I'm asking you to be? That one of our songs that we sang, and it says, I'm believing now that I can, well, it's not the right words exactly, but it's basically about, I believe now I can be who you made me to be. God made you. He knows you. He knows who you can be. He knows what's under your hood. You're looking from the outside, and maybe others are looking from the outside, but he knows the engine is put in there. He knows the gears. He knows the power that he's put in there. But sometimes we need to submit to his spirit and allow ourselves to be tuned so that we can actually be who he's called us to be, who he's made us to be. Matthew 5, verse 15 and 16 says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, in the same way, in the same way, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's all about revealing and glorifying God. And where does that doing and that good deeds flow from? Well, how do we glorify our Father? They come out of our being. We all, most of us would know Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life, or flows everything you do. Where also Matthew 7, verse 18 says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So if we're trying to produce good fruit but we haven't dealt with the tree, if we haven't let God work with the tree, it's never going to happen. A bad tree can have good gifts, but it can't have good fruit. So we need to focus on our heart, on the quality of our lives, the quality of our tree, and then the fruit and the deeds, you know what? They'll just look after themselves. How wonderful not having to squeeze out the fruit. You know, I see people, they talk about this sort of stuff and they're like, you never see a tree squeezing out its fruit. Like, it just flows out of who it is. So if we will work on the tree, that's all the gardener does. It doesn't work on the fruit. And it says, Jesus is our gardener, cutting off the branches that don't bear fruit. He's our gardener. All we need to do, we don't need to worry then so much about the fruit, but we just need to worry about the tree. Then the fruit and the deeds will look after themselves, and we will reveal God and we will glorify him. For even though God wants us to be the hands and feet, and Jesus, we've heard this many times, God wants you to be his hands and feet, and it's true, he does. But he doesn't live in our hands. He lives in our heart. He lives in our heart, and from that, everything else flows. We must begin there. And if we will allow the Spirit of God to lead us daily and bear his fruit in our lives, we won't need to worry anymore about those things. It will flow out of this. This is how God formed and forged the character of Jesus, which was proven because then after, from that, he did what he saw the Father doing and he spoke what he heard the Father saying. You know, I think about it, Jesus didn't have an easy life. He wasn't born into a palace. He actually went through trials and hardship. From the moment that he was born, he was an illegitimate son. Because people knew, wait a minute, she got pregnant before they had married. They had married. In that world, in that day and age, even a generation back, Shane and I know people only a generation back, and them, they grew up as illegitimate and they were shamed and they were shunned as though they'd done something wrong, as if they'd had anything to do with it. And you know what? Jesus did not live a life in a palace, a life of comfort. He went through his trials. He was a man acquainted with sorrows. He was used to being left out. He was used to being viewed a certain way. He understood. And God formed and forged his character and his nature in Jesus during this time. His deeds were fruitful, though, because he allowed God to do it, and therefore they flowed out of his heart, out of his character. So as we step into this next chapter, let us not grow weary in doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Let us not grow weary in doing good. What if we understood and realized that the doing good is not necessarily just about what you do? Maybe it's about what you be. Let us not grow weary. And I got to tell you, I know what it's like to grow weary. I know what it's like to grow weary in the waiting, while you're still believing, while you're still waiting on the promise, while you're still looking for the peace in the storm, looking for the fight to be over. I know what it's like, and I know you do too. We know what it's like. You know, I got to say, when Shane went through severe depression last year, tested me beyond my bounds. Or so I thought. Because guess what? In the words of the prophet Elton John, I'm still standing. Yeah? I want to tell you that whatever you're going through, God is using it. He is seeking to use it to form and to forge the character of Christ in you. And I got to tell you, I grew weary in the fight. I grew weary waiting for the peace. I grew weary waiting for the promises that his word, the things that his word promises to come to pass. Many times I cried out to God through tears. God, I can't cope with this. I can't deal with this. Help me. And he did. And he is good and he is God. But I didn't, you know what? It was in his timing. And I'm so grateful. It was in his timing. He did it. He didn't do it the first time I asked. He didn't even do it the second time I asked. 12 months of calling out to God at different times and different moments, and it didn't happen straight away. That's because God had better plans for me. He wanted to form something in me. He wanted me to become more like Christ. So here I am, calling out to God, thinking, God, help me. Why are you coming? God, bring an end to this. I can't deal with it. But he did in his right timing. I want to encourage you, God always has the right timing. He always has that. And he did it when he did it, not when I asked, because he had a greater thing in mind. He had a plan to form something in my character, to form an understanding of God's goodness in the midst of the trial. He was growing me. And I'm so grateful. I wouldn't exchange those 12 months for anything. You know, I sometimes think about it and think back to, you know, your stories in the Bible. If you've been reading the Bible over time, you know that there's so many stories of people waiting, of Abraham and Sarah waiting. Why did God spend 10 years? Why did he spend actually take even longer? The 10 years is just from the beginning of that to the fullness of it, like the promise to the fullness of it. But it's like, why did God wait till Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100? I don't think when she was 80 and he was 90 was the first time they asked. But God had something he was aiming to forge in them. I was thinking about it when I was writing this about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Yeah, not Bendigo, Abednego. You hear people sometimes like, and Bendigo. It's like, yeah, up there. Aussie, yeah, go. We're in the Bible. No. But in the book of Daniel chapter 3, there was a time when these three men wouldn't obey the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, because he decided in his worldliness to decide to build a 90-foot tall gold statue and tell everybody that they all had to bow down and worship it. He decided he was going to make his own God. How many times do we see that happening in the world? You've got to worship this. And they wouldn't. They refused to worship him, worship this. And so he threatened to throw them into a furnace a blazing furnace, a fire where they would be burnt to death. But they still refused to worship God. You know, I wonder when they thought God would or should have saved them. I'm pretty sure, but maybe I'm just applying myself to this story. I think it would be before they entered the furnace. I think the time they thought would be it would be before, even if it was the last second before they got thrown in, that suddenly something would happen and God would give the king a change of heart. And they would change their mind, he would change their mind and not throw them in, and they would be saved and all glory to God. But you know what? Not the same glory that came out of this story. Because what he did is the king didn't change his mind. He threw them in, bound. So it says that the guards that threw them in were actually died throwing them in because the furnace had been made so hot that they couldn't even get out alive, that they died themselves. And then it says that the king jumped up and looked in and went, wait a minute, talking to his wise men and his counselors. Didn't we throw three men bound into the fire? I see four and they're all free and walking around. And one of them looks like the Son of God. One of them looks like an angel of the Lord. See, God had bigger plans. It wasn't God's lack of love that he didn't answer when they called. Again, a song that we've got, God, you're enough. Even in the waiting, even when prayers aren't getting answered, God, you're still enough. You know what? These young men had that revelation. God, you're still enough. Because God had bigger plans, more loving plans. It doesn't seem like it, I know, but he had more loving plans. He wanted these three men and the king to see that even in the midst of the trial of fire, God can keep and save those who trust him. He wanted these three men and the king to see that God is faithful. And when we put our faith in him, we can weather any storm. I want to tell you, if you're in a storm right now, God will bring you through. Take heart from this story. Take heart from our story. Take heart from the stories of those around about you, because you're not the only person that will have gone through this. Because God wants you to know that with him we can weather any storm. Because it's in the waiting that his character is forged in us. And through the trials is when our hope in God is converted to confident assurance of him. In the trials, the flesh and all that's not of him is consumed until all that's left is God and gold. All that's left is faith and hope and love. All that's left is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and self-control. That's why the disciples wrote in James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And again in Romans 5 verse 3 to 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, I remember as a new Christian, I never understood these verses. Like, God, how could anybody write these verses? How could anybody write this down and say, praise God, another trial. It's awesome. Isn't it good? Let's be encouraged. Have you had another trial yet? Oh, don't worry. One will come. It'll be amazing. Don't worry. We'll be in it together. Like, yeah. I couldn't understand it. But you know what? Time in life is a revealer of a great many things. And go, and as you go along, you realize that comfort is not king. So often we're looking to be comfortable. Comfort is not king, and it is certainly not our friend. Comfort does not develop strength or endurance or patience or even kindness. In fact, it usually fights and wars against that or all of that. If I go to the gym, I want to tell you, no, I only do something, whatever's comfortable to me, I'm wasting my money, because I'll not grow, I'll not get stronger, and I can't help others with strength I don't have. You can't help others with strength you don't have. So everyone remains within their limitations and their bondage, and God is neither revealed nor glorified. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 says, when the Samaritan sees the injured man, when he sees the injured man, what does he do? He says he pulls over and he pulls out of his backpack, he pulls out wine to clean the wound, oil to soothe the wound, and bandages to wrap it up. He could only pull it out because he had it. He wasn't, if he didn't have those things in his own life, he could never have helped that man. Despite the best intentions, ever had the best intentions and then looked and gone, but I don't know how to do this. How am I ever going to do this? You know what? God wants you to have what you need so that wherever you go, you can be the oasis in the desert. You can bring the healing to the wounded. You can bring freedom to the captives. This is what you've been anointed for. And again, we heard about that at Covenant, Summit. We have heard about that. Now is the time to let God build these fruits of the Spirit in us. Now is the time to tend to our tree and allow the Holy Spirit to not only direct us and guide us, but correct us, to prune off the things that aren't bearing fruit and train us to live a life that glorifies Him. And maybe then the next time discomfort comes, maybe you'll take a moment to look twice and see if the Holy Spirit isn't right in there wanting to do something inside of you. So church, let's not grow weary in doing good. Let's not grow weary in being the person that God wants us to be. It will take discomfort. It will cause these things to happen in our lives. But I want to tell you, the fruit out of it, it's going to be so sweet. It will be the fruit that it'll be what we throw. It'll be part of the crowns that we throw at the throne of Jesus Christ when we see Him face to face. And in the meantime, it will bless and sustain and help and heal many, many others. Let's not grow weary in living well, in living right before God, in honoring Him by living with grace and kindness and all the other fruits of the Spirit towards others. Remember that His Spirit is at work within us, seeking to form the very nature and character of Christ in our lives. And I pray that we will not be those who make His work hard. Let's not make the Holy Spirit's work hard. Let's decide we're going to go with Him. Let's decide we're going to fall in step with Him and allow Him to do what He wants to do. If we are those who are willing to yield to Him, we will grow into the image of Jesus Christ. And if each of us will be such fruitful trees, and many will be fed and many will be blessed.